Welcome back to Takeoff, a podcast series where we share stories from our people about innovation, aviation, automotive, autonomous technology, and of course, we throw some funny things in for good measure. Today, our guest is Chris Keith. Chris, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. How are you today?
So glad that you could join us. Thank you. I'm having a great day. I wanted to see, where are you joining us from? Let's tell our audience.
I am coming from the warm location of Ottawa, Canada.
Extra warm and toasty. Very, very nice. A little bit different from the UK, of course. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do here at Aurrigo, and how long have you been with the company?
To start, I've been with the company for 7 years, and I am the vice president of creative and digital marketing. I create the media that centers around automotive,
the autonomous side, what we're doing with the company, and how we put it together. And just like anything else, whether you're creating a car commercial, you got to come up with an idea and how it reaches the audience. And that's kind of the fun part. Now, the digital side is, most people consume these types of things through, as we're doing now, a podcast or watching an advert on one of the social media platforms. We're not as big as an automotive company per se, so we're not throwing automotive commercials out there regarding some of our vehicles down the road. Yes, but that's not kind of the space we live in. So it's basically this online space where you're creating an image that people can see what you do and how you do it, and a little bit of product in there.
So what is your background? How did you become this digital creator?
Well, it's been a very long journey. I left film school and headed to Los Angeles in 98. And from there, I would spend the next 20 years working on all different types of productions. One of the more notable are things that most people would know. The Simpsons. I did animations for the Simpsons DVDs back in the day. Worked at Sony Pictures Studios on the lot. Did a lot of production support for movies with Kevin Bacon, like Hollow Man, or Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, What Lies Beneath, Adam Sandler, you name it. I was on those productions a lot, working on different aspects.
Very cool.
Supporting the studio. Yeah.
I would say that you brought Hollywood, obviously, to the company then. And being in Los Angeles, obviously quite a different climate than it is here in Ottawa, Canada. So tell me a little bit about that. How did you decide to make that move, or what brought you here to Ottawa?
In 2015, I started filming a documentary for Jaguar Land Rover,
which our company is heavily involved with through the automotive side. And so the project revolved around a robotics program for kids, helping kids with cerebral palsy. So that's what the documentary was centered around. Yeah, it was an incredible experience. So we shot from 2015, 2016, 2017, this documentary film, and the company building the robotics side of it, the actual platform, was RDM, or is known now, Aurrigo. So I got to be close with all the engineers, Dave, the team, from being there 3 years on site working for Jaguar Land Rover in robotics. And so, to kind of back up a little bit, they put me in this role, director, producer in England, was because I had a heavy background in automotive.
Okay.
I grew up building monster trucks, working on muscle cars in the neighborhood with my next door neighbor. And so he kind of taught me all this stuff growing up. It's like, hey, let's throw an engine in something. That's kind of what brought me to England, because I could film, I could shoot, I could edit, I could do all those things. But on the flip side, I could also build. So it was that kind of that combination, I think, that maybe the perfect person to be involved in that film. And so then when we wrapped that, the transition to the frozen tundra of Ottawa happened, because Dave knew that I was finishing up that project and wanted to know if I'd like to be involved with what Aurrigo was doing. And
very
so
cool.
A conversation with the wife, hey, would you be interested in moving to Canada? Was the next thing. So,
I know quite a bit about that, which I'm sure we can unpack in a later episode. But
exactly. So we made that move. Now, interestingly enough, we thought we were actually going to England, back to England, but did a sharp left to the north and stopped in Ottawa And here we are,
Down
7 years later.
in snow.
In snow, yes. Slightly different from LA, but I grew up in Michigan, so the snow wasn't something foreign to me.
So, being in Hollywood and working on various types of pieces, like you mentioned, everything from movies to The Simpsons, which of course everybody knows and loves, what is some of the inspiration that you draw on to kind of bring that Hollywood touch and feel to the company, to Arrigo?
Working on those productions, A, from a technical aspect, you bring in what you know to make this stuff happen. And it's an ever-evolving thing that, you're always learning something new because it is moving so fast, such as a podcast. Like now, I never worked on a podcast, never did a podcast prior to 2024. So that was a new thing. And then as far as the automotive styling and how you work on creating that type of content. I had worked on a few car commercials back in the day, and we'd shot stuff at Jaguar Land Rover on their test tracks and things over the years in Gaydon in the UK. So combine that with just other things and how you want looks and feels of things, kind of like our designer, Elliot Hawkins. He has a very specific way he likes to design the vehicles and the look he wants to portray. So that kind of sets the tone for how do we shoot this stuff, because
Exactly.
it's better looking than anything out there. So imagery also has to take that consideration. Now, of course, this is one element that with your automotive background, is you get a vehicle and you can't quite talk about everything it does, when it's coming out, all these
All
aspects.
the things that are under the radar until they're allowed to be gone public, basically.
Yes, until you're allowed to release them and talk about them. So that's one of those elements that makes it a little more difficult than your average shoot or how you engage digitally online, because you can only disclose that much until it's ready. Like when we first launched the Auto Dolly Tug, it was brief images here and there, and you can't really talk about it because we don't want competition to know what we're doing. And then when it's out there, we're kind of under these non-disclosure agreements, like you would in any production, to not talk about it. Most titles of film and television pilots, they create something that has nothing to do with what they're actually filming, so no one ends up with a leg up, like, oh, we should do that as well.
No, I was gonna say, speaking of like that design and kind of the look that Elliot gives the vehicles, a lot of people when the autonomous shuttles are going out, I always remember hearing things like they look like a toaster for a couple of, people, competitors in the field, basically. And then ours comes out and it is the most edgy, kind of dark, mysterious, and futuristic looking vehicle, right? So I have noticed how you've obviously taken those elements and really put in that futuristic tone into everything from, the website that you've designed to the media pieces that you have put together, and everything has almost that kind of that leg up. And I feel like, from the get-go, it does take that. I was with Toyota for 6 or so years working with them, and everything you think of from filming in-house commercials and filming podcasts and, launches and news and all of these pieces, the fact that we can do all of that in-house, having you on the team, I think that that's really something that people don't realize, and I'm sure no one really realizes what goes into a production. Even filming this podcast, it takes 30 to 45 minutes to set up. We're setting up the mic in the background, and there's a big box light behind me because it's just not lit up enough. And then you're in a separate location and audio and, again, and then piecing it all together. And then the fact that you edit it on the, on the flip side. So not only are you starting it and you're filming it and you're helping to set it up, you're filming it all together, and then pushing out the final product. So I have to say that's got to be pretty cool that you get to do the full life cycle here. And you really have kind of your freedom to take from your inspiration. If you were to say, I want Arrigo marketed like X thing, what would that be? Is there like one specific thing or a couple pieces that you kind of, again, like take that look and feel and you feel like they've done a great job and you want to do that too?
There are some, and not to stick with UK, but when you see like a Aston Martin style ad or a Range Rover, those stylistic choices on their commercials and how they how they just still images or anything like that. They're always, so what's the posh and just elegant and in some cases a little aggressive with Aston Martin and this, and that's all, whether it's a cue from the styling and how they're used, because I really love trucks. I like that aggressiveness, but you can't really market our aviation stuff like it's a Dodge or an F-150. It has to have a lean more towards, well, obviously aviation, which maybe it's more like a Air Force styling, because it does have that take on a B-2 or Ace, I think it's a A-117 fighters, all the stealth stuff. It has that look to it. So a lot of hard corners, edging, and so that's kind of what you lean to, because the message of what it looks like versus what you're doing, there's you got to have this kind of symbiotic relationship, and how it lands with the customer, because you have to get the message across, because this is pretty new tech, and the fact that we're revolutionizing the aviation air side, that's nothing anyone's ever seen before, except maybe in movies and things like that. So you really have to take a
Take
look
it.
at how it's
Definitely.
delivered and consumed. So it's a very difficult thing to try and attach to a successful outcome. It's, you just don't know.
I think one of the key things on having it in-house is, from a communications and marketing perspective, where kind of my focus lies, oftentimes in past companies, you're hiring that out. So you have to find a company, you have to like their style and their branding because they're only going to do so much on either side of it, right? Because everybody's known for what they do. And then you have to get them up to speed with the technology. So the fact that what you just said, we're cutting edge tech, everything from, being in the automotive space to bringing autonomy to automotive and public transit through to the aviation space where we're focused now, it really takes a lot to make somebody understand what these highlights are. Everybody in the autonomous space, of course, they want to know what sensors are being used, and you want to start being able to capture what that looks like from a LiDAR perspective, or cameras, or the styling, or just the different ways that it all interacts for this bigger brainchild to make this vehicle move. So again, being able to just have somebody in-house that's been with a company as long as you have, you already know everything inside and out, and you don't, it's like you get to skip an entire storyboarding step almost because you know it and you know the message, and it's just a lot easier
Well,
from a comms perspective.
yeah, and the turnaround on it is
So much
far,
easier.
far, far easier, far quicker, far cheaper than if you just outsource it,
Oh, I mean,
I
I would say
think.
easier for me and for like the comms team, probably harder for you because we just always expect you to push us out these rough edits of things. And then we're like, okay, let me just look at that and let's change it first. If we were to outsource you, we'd only have so many edits, right? So,
It's the thing, you get two, three changes, and then you have to start paying again. So yeah, it definitely helps the company out from that perspective. And I get to engage with Elliot on his, hey, take a look at this, and
And
see the
globally, I
engineers.
mean, I know that you just got back
And
from a
actually,
really cool trip. So tell me a little bit about what you recently, maybe not mentioning everywhere specifically that you went, but you could mention kind of high level because I know some of this stuff is under the radar and coming soon. But yeah, kind of tell me a little bit about your recent trip.
I went to Europe and the UK. Is that vague enough? And so I went around to these different locations at airports all throughout Europe, and each airport deploys the vehicles in a different fashion.
Our
And
vehicle, of
there's
course, for the viewers listening, we're a little biased there, our Abu Dhabi tug.
So they deploy, they all have their own look, so their own branding to everything. So every shot, every video still, it looks different. It's almost just like a, United, Delta, they all do everything, Virgin. They all shoot and have different looks, just because from the get-go, it just doesn't look like any, the branding on each airplane. So when I go around to these locations, we take into consideration, we just shoot within the confines of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then we edit, you know, put pieces together when we can release them and then create a story around it. And so there's some pretty big storylines coming up here in the near future where you'll really get a flavor for each airport around the world and how they are deploying the vehicles and using them. And you'll really be able to see when you start watching and seeing some of the imagery of how it's, you know, revolutionizing the air side. And it's great to be able to be the one that kind of, you know, convey that message.
Yeah.
So it's really great from that aspect. So
I think that right there is a great spot to kind of end out the episode with all that nice future upcoming excitement and teasers. But I have one last question for you. What is the coolest thing that you've ever worked on to date? It could be professionally, it could be something when you were younger, it doesn't really matter, but what is one of the coolest things you've ever worked on?
One of the coolest things I've ever worked
Whether
on.
Whether it's like God, a project with The Simpsons. I know I always like to throw a random question in, and I really don't tell anybody that's on the show what that question is going to be because I don't want it to be rehearsed. I want us to just have a conversation.
and
see what comes.
You know, I've worked on so many things. It's hard to nail one down, but you know what? When we did the making of a movie called Waiting with Ryan Reynolds.
I saw that movie. It's hilarious and moderately inappropriate in some ways, but very funny.
Very, you know, very, very early 2000s.
Yeah.
Late 90s. God, I don't mean dating myself here. Yeah, early 2000s. And it was, you know, the funniest people you can imagine. And you're working with
Ryan Reynolds.
The director, Ryan Reynolds,
was
Rob McKittrick.
Yeah.
You know,
Justin Long in that movie as well?
Justin Long was
as
well.
He's like such a great, like, deadpan, understated comedy.
Oh, the guy from, I totally forget his name, from Anchorman, the cowboy hat.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes. Well, again, we always have future episodes where we dive in a little deeper. That's our plan, at least, so that we can get to know all of the employees of Arrigo and RDM a little bit better and what we're up to. Thanks so much for sharing your stories and your time. It's always a pleasure to see everything that you produce. It really makes Arrigo pop and kind of shows the world who we are on a global scale. So again, thanks for joining us. Tune in next week. Again, we'll have another person on. Well, I should say tune in next week as in I'm filming next week, but tune in 2 weeks for another episode. Every other week on Wednesdays, we're bringing you the latest and greatest stories from our team, and we hope you want to subscribe and like and share our podcast and learn more about us. Just a side note before we close out the podcast, the views and opinions shared here are those of the hosts and the guests and do not necessarily reflect Arrigo International PLC or its official stance. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Some forward-looking statements might come up, which are just projections and are subject to change.